Thank you, Brother Melvin, for sharing God's Word, that aspect of fear. And your personal testimony there. I'm challenged and encouraged. I'm going to start off with a question, and my question is, what do you think advances God's kingdom the most? What do you think advances God's kingdom? If you think about the call that we have to be a light to the world, to call sinners to repentance, to share the good news, I wonder what each one of you would say if you would write on a piece of paper, what advances God's kingdom the most? What I have to share with you this morning, I'm going to tell you, will greatly improve the quality of your life. It will also have a tremendous impact on the kingdom of God. It may increase the number of your friends. It will certainly increase the quality of your friendship. The quality of your homes. You know, we see these plaques sometimes that say, home sweet home. Well, what makes a home sweet? Last Sunday, Brother Simon exhorted us to love each other deeply. And you can't define love without defining kindness. And so I'd like to talk to you about kindness. My wife and I have used that word a lot more frequently. If you'd be a part of our home, you would hear us. We're memorizing verses out of the scripture that talk about kindness. And we just like to climb up the ladder a few rungs, if you would, in that area. So if you want to learn how to be kind, come talk to my wife or myself. Not because we have attained, but because we see the need. And we have recognized that we have a need there. There's a book written that's titled Needy People Helping Needy People. And he says, in the beginning of that book, he says, the people who recognize their need are often the ones best situated to help other needy people. I'm going to title the message, The Power of Kindness, Empathy, and Compassion. The Power of Kindness, Empathy, and Compassion. Let's first look at the dictionary definition of these three words. The word kindness, the Greek word, is krestos. It simply means to make oneself useful to another. Krestos. The dictionary says a definition for kindness, the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. The quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. So what would that look like? This can start in little children. Maybe it means to writing, as simple as writing a note to someone. Little children, you know how to write notes. Maybe it means baking something for someone. It could mean buying someone coffee, buying them flowers. It could mean giving your coworkers compliments. How about picking up trash, something that's totally not your responsibility, along the road, at a public park. It could mean returning the shopping cart at its proper place, being kind, giving of yourselves for other people. I had an ungodly man tell me this week that he believes the reason we need to be kind is because it's going to come back to bite us. There was a situation that happened at work, and I was telling him how this neighbor was being so ornery and was wanting to charge me money to use part of his driveway. And he was just like, that's not good. He's not a Christian by any stretch. But he believes that if you act like that, it comes around to bite you. I found that interesting. What about the simple things? Your smiles or a handshake, opening the doors for people. I believe that's what kindness looks like. Empathy. Dictionary definition for empathy is ability to understand and share the feelings of others. The ability to understand and share the feelings of others. Now, that's sometimes harder for us on this side, right? For us men. But I think we can grow in that. If there's people who are grieving, we should be able to understand and share those feelings, empathy. We should learn to show interest. Empathy, the way it looks like, is be supportive, be encouraging, feel the other person's pain and their emotion. And the last word, compassionate. Dictionary definition is feeling or showing sympathy and concern for others. Empathy is more feeling the pain. Compassion is taking action, doing something about it. A compassionate person tolerates uncomfortable situations because we're moved by compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion. The verse that says Jesus wept. He saw Mary and Martha, their only brother. He died. He saw their pain, and he wept. Empathy and compassion. Compassion helps us mend relationships. Get that? Compassion helps us to mend relationships that are strained. It desires all people to be free from suffering. As we heard last Sunday, Brother Simon said, there's more than 1 billion people in the world today that are displaced because of natural calamities, because of war, earthquakes. More than 1 billion people are displaced from family, from homes, and their life is not easy. Compassion. I've got myself in trouble saying people's names up here already, so this morning I'm going to use the animals. There's two animals that are known in the world for their compassion, for their consideration, and God made these animals. What do you think they are? Brother Kendrick mentioned the geese, and I would have guessed that the geese would rate higher than what they did, but these are animals that are not local here. They're not dogs, they're not cats. They are in the ape family. The first animal is called an orangutan. Here's some interesting things about these animals. the most caring, considered the most caring animal, showing empathy, being compassionate, being kind. They live in, I think it's Indonesia or Malaysia, I'm not quite sure, maybe both. The mothers spend 7 years with their young. Think about that. 7 years, that little ape spends time with his mother. That's a pretty long time for an animal. I was a dairy farmer, and I remember when this new thing came out that you should not let the calf spend time with the mother because of disease. And so I was at a meeting, and he said, you know, before that calf is even licked off, get it out to a hutch. Just get it out of the barn, out to a hutch. For sure, don't let the calf suck from its mother. Feed them milk replacer, not mother's milk. Well, that took full circle. Now they're saying again that, oops, that was a big mistake. And if you're an organic dairy farmer, guess what? You're not even allowed to have your calves in hutches. The NOP has made a rule that you have to have a few calves together in one pen because of, I guess, the social aspect of it. I'm not sure. But these apes spend 7 years, 7 to 8 years with their mother. They stay there with their mother until they have learned how to handle life. The mothers only have one baby every 8 years. It's the longest from any of the animals, the longest space in between the babies. And they live, they have recorded their lives to be more than 60 years old. The other animal is an animal found in the Amazon. It's called the capybara. They are considered the most friendliest animal to humans in the whole world, capybara. They're in the rodent family. They weigh about 140 pounds, and they make themselves no qualms at all. If monkeys jump on their back, parrots and birds jump on their back, they give them rides to and from. They don't charge them anything. They're very docile. They're very patient. And they rate higher. If you look them up, they rate higher than dogs and cats. That's the animal world. It's not the Bible. And so we'll leave that at that. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and honor." Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and honor. That's an old writing. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, compassionate," I think some translations say, "forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." That's very simple and very straightforward, right? It doesn't take a pulling apart of that verse to understand what Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Whether it's in the home, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your neighborhood, this is the call for us as Christians. As Christians, are we kind to other people because they deserve it? In other words, should we just be kind if somebody deserves kindness as a Christian? Do you know the answer? The answer is no. We are kind because of what Jesus did for us and of our call that we have in the Scripture. My wife's comment this week was, when we were talking about kindness, she said, kindness is like a vicious cycle. It goes around and just keeps going around. In 1991, there was a lady who saw an index card on a refrigerator that said, "Practice random acts of kindness and experience some beauty." Practice random acts of kindness and experience some beauty. This same lady wrote it down, and when she was at a toll booth at a toll bridge, she said, "Here's the money for my toll and for the six other cars that are behind me." And so as each car came up to the toll booth, the officer, the toll booth said, "Some lady in the front here paid for you. Thank you. Have a nice day." For six cars in a row. Well, this same phrase was seen painted on the side of a warehouse building. And I think the same lady's husband saw that. And so he liked it and he started doing something about it. There was, in one of these situations, there was a seventh grade school teacher that saw this. And so he wrote it on the bulletin board or the blackboard in his school. And till it was all said and done, it made articles in a few newspapers. It made articles on in the Reader's Digest. There was bumper stickers made. Practice random acts of kindness. It had quite an impact. The one lady had made a new resolution to read more books, and so she had purchased a book at the mall somewhere, and as she was reading the book, she saw a $5 bill in the book with a note, and the note said, "I have been struggling, not having a good day, so I just thought I would bless you with this kind act. Go buy yourself some coffee and be happy and be strong," something like that. It just went on and on. Now, I'd like to hold up to this morning that we don't just do random acts of kindness. The Bible calls us to a much higher thing than just random. So I'd like to look at three words, and then we'll be looking at some more scriptures. The first word is, as a Christian, what is the reason that we are kind? What is our reason to be kind? Well, I hope you would all agree the number one reason is Jesus. Just think with me this morning. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, who was so busy going around doing good, never turned anyone away. Never. It didn't matter if it was the harlot at the well. Didn't matter if it was Zacchaeus, the cheater up in the tree, or the shy woman who touched the hem of his garment. The end of the long day of teaching, he fed 5,000 people. He was busy. He healed the deaf. He gave sight to the blind. And he never turned anyone away. He didn't say to them, "Well, stop coming to me with all your petty concerns. He even had time for the children. When Peter, or the disciples, I'm not sure if it was Peter, said, you know, send them away, Jesus said, let them come to me. Jesus was born in the hustle and bustle of normal Lancaster County life there in close to Jerusalem. He was not in Hawaii Islands having vacation. Things were busy for people in Jerusalem and the surrounding cities. But he had time to be kind and to meet the needs of the people around him. Jesus was never too busy to show kindness. And so the reason that we should be kind is because of Jesus. I believe Jesus demonstrated it and he commanded it. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, whatsoever you would that others do to you, do it to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The whole law and all of the prophets' teaching is summed up by whatever you would that people would do to you, do it to them. John chapter 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Love one another. Let's love one another deeply. You know that the reason my wife and I are here at Living Hope is because of kindness. There was a time in our life that we had to find a church fellowship. And the reason we chose this particular group of people was because of the genuine empathy, compassion, and kindness that was radiating from your lives. So the reason for kindness is because we love Jesus. We don't just do it randomly, but we do it because we love Jesus. We are the little Christ, and he has called us to this. Number two is motivation. What should be our motivation for kindness? First Corinthians, you know the verse there in 13, verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Love is patient and love is kind. Like I said earlier, for us to define love, we have to define kindness. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading two verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. Jesus says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And I think in some of your translations, the word there might be translated kind. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. It's not good enough for us to lock ourselves in our houses, to bite our tongues till they bleed, because we don't want to return evil for evil. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. How do we do that? How do we love people who hate us? These things are not natural. This verse says that God is kind to the good and the evil. So why shouldn't we be? If that's who God is, He's calling us to the same standard. Be ye holy as I am holy. Kindness is something we give to people even though they don't deserve it. Why? Because kindness is love. It's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you, right? But it's a complete different thing to be kind to people who are not kind to you. I had that opportunity this week. I had somebody who was just being real ornery with me. And you know what? Kindness is not a feeling. I did not feel like just being kind to him. I also had an opportunity to receive kindness from someone this week. Just yesterday, I was driving home, and my truck said 33 miles until empty. On the dash there, it lets me know when I have need to fill up. Well, I'm 3 miles from home. I'm thinking, now surely I'll make it. Going up a little bit of a hill, and I like, oh, what happened? I can't steer. And realize, oh, the truck shut off. And there I am. It's raw. Yesterday afternoon, it was cold outside. I have a diesel truck. And guess what? I had another problem. I have weak batteries in that truck. And I called my wife. She's taking her nap. My children are in Iowa, and I am at the mercy of other people. Two people stopped, and a number of other people as well. But if it wasn't for somebody willing to take a gas can, go buy some diesel, bring it back, I would have been there a long time, and my little boys. Kindness. Kindness is love. And we don't give kindness just because someone deserves it. We give kindness because we love God. We love Jesus. And that should motivate us. Psalms says, God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so, if God doesn't reward us that way, why should we take on the judgment of God and say, well, we need to make sure that person gets justice? Or, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. As I was thinking about this message, it was harder than what I thought it was, because I also remembered the many times that I failed to give kindness when I should have. I remembered situations when I was a boy in school. So kindness is not a feeling that just comes. Kindness is motivated by love. The reason for kindness is Jesus. The motivation for kindness is love. And then lastly, let's look at the action of kindness. We sang that song, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Jesus is kind. And we can see all through Scripture that God is a very kind God. I thought of the Old Testament situation when somebody accidentally killed someone else. They could run to the city of refuge or something. They could beeline and run and get to that certain area where they would be protected from family or neighbors or whoever would want to seek revenge. God set that up. That wasn't the people's ideas. See, God wants justice. And he's motivated by love. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And we want to read one verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. An action word starts off here. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Five things to follow. And it has the picture here of putting on. Isn't that what our Christian life is about? We know what it's like to take off dirty clothes and put on clean clothes. That's the word here he uses. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, bowels of mercy. Tender mercies. Put these things on. Add these things to your faith. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness and long-suffering. You know, as a follower of Jesus, am I right to say that we choose kindness? It's not about any of you. You could say, well, that's just not my personality. Or that's just not my temperament. We choose kindness. It doesn't matter what your temperament is this morning. It doesn't matter what your personality is. You can be kind. We're not to be passive about this, but pursue it diligently. I'm okay with random acts of kindness. I'm okay with programs. I could, if I would get emphatic enough, I could stir you all up so all of you would, in the next week or two, you would do some random acts of kindness. But it needs to go much deeper than that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a lifestyle that we live as Christians. We are little Christs. And this should be growing in our life, learning to be kind. Even, may I say, when people hate you, be kind. Don't return insult for insult, but contrariwise blessings. It is something that marks our lives as we choose to be kind and to be compassionate and to show empathy. Action of kindness is brave and yet humble. And I need to mention this just to bring a little bit of balance to this topic. The action of kindness is brave yet humble. How many of you had opportunity to say or do something kind to someone who was not kind to you? I have. To do something kind for someone who was not kind to you. I'd like to give you an illustration, and we're going to call these people Peter and Paul. And so they're at school, these two little boys, and Peter says to Paul that, have you noticed how rude that new person is at school? I mean, the way he talks and the way he acts, he is just a fathead. He's so proud. Paul says to Peter, oh, we don't call people names like that. We don't do that. That's not the way we should talk. And Peter says, well, that's the truth. That's who that person is. What's wrong with that? And Paul says, well, we still don't do that. Maybe you're too much of a fathead to understand this. You see, we confuse kindness sometimes with niceness. We live in a time when people are afraid to speak the truth. We live in a time when people just want to be nice to each other. And you don't really talk about issues in people's lives because that would not be nice. You might hurt their feelings. It has gone so far as they say at Lowe's and Home Depot, the workers that work there, they see shoplifting regularly. And they are told, I was told by one of the workers, that they are not to confront the people who are shoplifting because that would not be nice or they could get in trouble. That's not what I'm talking about when I say we need to be kind. Don't confuse kindness with niceness. Suppose I would go to a doctor because I'm feeling sick. And I know something is wrong. And the doctor would order an MRI. They do their MRI, maybe they do a CAT scan. And I have a follow-up appointment to come in to see what the doctor's found. And as I go back to have my tests read, the doctor would say to me, or the doctor wouldn't say it to me, he would think this. He would think, you know what? I don't want this man to feel bad. I don't want to say anything unkind. I don't want to make him feel like he's sad now because of this tumor that I found in his body. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to do something that would make him troubled. And so I come in, and I ask the doctor what they found, and he says, everything is okay. Don't worry about anything. You're good. You're healthy. Go and have a good day. Don't worry about anything. Now, would that help me? Absolutely not. That tumor that he found, if it's not cut out or checked in some way, will kill me. To say everything is okay, to be happy, and don't worry about anything when there is a problem in my life is not kind. Kindness sometimes hurts, right? For you to be kind to each other, we have to speak the truth. We need to be willing to change where we don't see things correctly. We need to be willing to hear from each other. And so kindness is about truth. Kindness is about wanting to know if there is some malignant tumor that's going to grow and destroy us. David said it this way in Psalms 141 verse 5. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head. And so, I want to be clear this morning that bringing correction or admonishing each other, pointing out error in each other's life is not unkind. It's actually kind to do this. It's kindness in action, to bring correction, to bring admonishment, to point out in areas where we don't see things correctly. Because we are so blind. We don't always see ourselves the way we should. It's being brave, yet humble. And the third aspect of kindness with action is it is real and not artificial. In Matthew chapter 8, we have this interesting account of Jesus with this man who had leprosy. And if you know anything about leprosy, and you read this account, it makes you wonder why Jesus did what he did. There was this man who had leprosy. He came over to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. I think of it as maybe our modern-day HIV or AIDS. Once you contracted it, there was a one-way street, pretty much. I'm not sure if they had any cure at all that I'm aware of. And what it did is it damaged the nerve endings of your cells. And so your hands and your feet, and it would grow, it would damage the nerve endings. You could cut yourself, you would never feel it. You could get a hammer and pound a nail through your hand, and you have no pain if it reached that point. It was a very dreaded disease. But it wasn't that, I don't believe, that the disease was so despised. I don't think it was because of the nerve endings. I think it was because of how you were treated in society. Once you had leprosy, you were an outcast. That was your lot for your life. We read in Leviticus, the person with leprosy had to wear torn clothes, unkept hair, and the lower part of their face covered. And they were supposed to, when they're out in public, say, unclean, unclean. Nobody touched them. Nobody showed them compassion. They were supposed to live in their own camp, outside, away from everyone else. And here in Matthew chapter 8, after this man says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus does this interesting thing. I find it interesting. He reached down and he touched the man. Now he could have snapped his finger. He could have just said, well, you are clean because you believe. But he didn't. He reached down and he touched this man with leprosy. There's a story of a doctor in India who had this compassion for these lepers. And the story goes that he specifically wanted to minister to the people with leprosy. And one day there was maybe a young boy, I don't remember, in his clinic, and who had leprosy. And the doctor was talking through an interpreter to this patient. The doctor put his hand on the boy, and the boy just started weeping. And so the doctor was trying to figure out, he was asking the interpreter, you know, what did I say to the boy? Why is he just crying? And when the boy composed himself, he told the interpreter, it's not because of what he said. It's because that he laid his hand on his shoulder and touched him. Nobody had touched him. Nobody had shown him kindness or compassion. And this made him weep. In conclusion this morning, brothers and sisters, are you in keeping with the Lord's kindness, empathy, and compassion? As little Christ, think with me, what would God do? What could God do in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our churches, if we would learn to be kinder? If we would learn to show more empathy? If we would learn to be more compassionate? Full of good fruit. I have been a recipient of much kindness in my life. I was the oldest boy of five boys growing up. And, you know, I look back at those years and I think, why wasn't I more kind? Why didn't I see the power of being kind? Older children in the family have a tendency to become kind of, you know, the boss. And in many ways, they get the responsibility young because they're the oldest boy. But we can learn to be kind. What will God do if you, this next week, show more kindness to your coworkers, the people who you work with, or the people who you work for? Children, what would it look like in your homes if you learned to be more kind, as siblings even, to each other? Think about this. I told you earlier that what I tell you this morning will definitely improve the quality of your life and the quality of your relationships, the quality of your friendships, if you learn these things. And so I'd just like to encourage all of you this morning that one person can make a difference. You are just one person, right? But you can make a difference. We read the last chapter in Theo, the big brother, last evening. And Theo was a street boy who just had a natural propensity to steal, to lie. That was his life. That's what he did. And he thought nothing about it. He lived up in Boston more than 100 years ago. And he was very, very rude. And he thought nothing of it. Until he met one man who took him in his home and showed him kindness. And if you read the story, it is unbelievable what God did through that little street boy and how he impacted so many people. You see, the world needs to see Jesus, the supernatural power of Jesus, of being kind not to those who deserve it, but to those who don't deserve it. And the world is full of these people. It's not just a random thing we do. It's something that we want to embrace as a lifestyle. Could we all bow on our knees? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your love to us. We thank you that you care for us. And the many different fears that we face in our life, Lord, you know that you care about these things. And we can cast our cares upon you, our anxieties. Help us, Lord, as we do that, to fill our life with good things, to be kind, to be humble, and to be brave. We ask that you would fill us this morning with your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things, to empower us, Father, as we go from here today, as we face another week with evil abounding everywhere, iniquity growing worse. We are in perilous times, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to be brave, to be courageous, to show the world more of Christ, more kindness. Use us, Lord, as your little Christ, to bring hope into this world. Help us to love one another, Father, deeply as we serve one another here in these last days. We recognize that the world is ever increasing in rudeness and self-promotion. People tramp on each other. People think of themselves. Help us to counter that, Lord, as we become like Christ, full of compassion, full of empathy. Bless us, Lord, with that grace to fulfill our calling. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.